We're grateful this morning that we can stand before such a King. We also tremble when we think of doing so. But I'm so encouraged to know that the God that we have is a very loving God, and He has provided great provision for us that we might approach Him with all of our needs. And that encompasses all. Small word that means an awful lot this morning. I thank the Lord that we can come to Him with our troubles of our spirit. Grateful that we can come to Him this morning with the troubles of our body, the things that press upon our mind. If we need wisdom today, He says, come. He hasn't changed from what He was when He walked this earth and saw people needing a shepherd. And the great heart of our Lord flowed out to them with great compassion. And He just went where they were, called them around His feet, and began to minister to their needs. Some needs, I believe, were instantaneously met. Some He bid them follow Him. And as they followed, I believe, the dawning of the truth and all His glory began to grow in their very spirit. Until they, at that point, the disciples, we put them kind of on a pedestal. They were human, just like you and I are. But they heard the voice of the Lord and they followed. And there was a point in their life when, as we heard last night, Jesus looked at them and challenged them and said, "Who do you say that I am?" God help us today to follow the Lord to the point that we can say without any doubt in our heart that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not only say it with our mouth, but to be able to say it with the person we have become in Him. I would like to refer us this morning to the eighth chapter of Matthew. And as you begin to turn there, I would like to remind us that that chapter follows the preceding three chapters that we call the Sermon on the Mount. This was early on in Christ's ministry. He was doing His work upon this earth to reach out and help people, teach them. And this morning our focus isn't going to be on the Sermon on the Mount, but for one reason, there's no way we could cover all the Sermon on the Mount. That is very expansive and touches so many needs that we have this morning. We want to look at the eighth chapter. And there's much here that I believe the Lord has left for us. And I want to encourage us today that the one who left behind this record, the one who created this record of what He did, is still the same today. Regarding not what we may see, our faith ascends beyond our eyesight. Amen. And focuses on the one who says the mountain is indeed mine. Because I believe the Lord today wants to help us claim something that's higher than we are. This morning, as we start this, I ask that the Lord will bless His Word today, and we want to honor Him. Ask for your prayers. When Jesus was come down from this Sermon on the Mount, when He was come down from the Mount, great multitudes followed Him. I believe that the things He began to tell them in that sermon likely exposed deep places within their heart, but not only exposed it, but soothed it with His truth, with His balm that He has to give us. See, the Lord last night, probably many of us, the Lord in His mercy used the mirror of His gospel to show us ourselves. That's a very good thing. But He didn't just leave us with the understanding of who we were or our need. He also administered help for that need. And many of us came to these altars of prayer last night and emptied out our hearts seeking the Lord in a greater measure. And I believe He met us there. We got up from there a different person, did we not? That doesn't only have to happen at these altars of prayer. It can happen at our altars of prayer where we are at our homes or on our job. Whenever we are at need, He has not left us. He's not gone on a far journey. He's still here with us today, interested in communing with our soul. He wants to walk and talk with us in the cool of our day, also in the midst of our trial. And I will have to admit there have been times, and I believe all of us likely have experienced these times, where in the heat of the battle, it's hard sometimes to hear His voice or see His face. But I believe, dear ones, that the Lord is still as close then as if those moments that we can see more clearly, I still believe He's there. He has not. He said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And that is something that God wants us to lay hold in faith and believe He's still there. Because He hasn't quit loving us. He hasn't quit being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's come down now from the mount, and the people heard the beautiful words, truth that He shared with them, truth that perhaps exposed needs in their heart, and they just yearned to stay with Him, and they followed Him as they came down. They followed Him, and behold, there came a leper. Wonder, did He say anything in the Sermon on the Mount and say, lepers can be healed? Is that what He said? He didn't specifically say that, did He? But there was something within the leper's heart. Hope began to build. Oh, dear ones, may we lay our eyes on the reason of our hope today and realize hope is still here. This leper was in deep need in his body. And yes, today we can say that leprosy is a type today of sin. It's a corrosive thing. It's an insidious thing. It takes slowly and destructively and destroys lives. Yes, it separates us initially from the Lord, but it's not where it's done. Sin is corrosive and it continues to destroy and harm and can do it generationally if we let Him. But Jesus came down from the mount and there was something, some ringing truth entered into a place that seemed like there had been no hope before and touched this leper. He had physical need. He also had, I believe, people have spiritual needs. He is the minister to all these needs. This leper heard about this one. Perhaps he was at the periphery. Maybe he was around down the side of the mountain. He couldn't be up with the crowd. But he was close enough, I believe, his ear likely began to hear some news, some good news. And he came down, and the courage, the hope that rose within his bosom, he began to approach the helper of his need. The hope that was standing before him. And he came with his desperation. And he brought that to the Lord. And the Lord didn't say, stand back. No, He didn't. He brought him close. He hasn't changed. That's still the same God we have today. I want to encourage us today. We have a God who still loves and is interested in helping us. There came a leper and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. You notice the hope, the vision that his heart had grasped. He didn't say that in the Sermon on the Mount, did he? But there was something began to inspire this leper. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. He believed it. There was an authority here. In the previous chapter, 28th verse or 29th, maybe we'll go ahead and read the 28th and the 29th. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. There was something powerful and authoritative in what He said. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was something there that caused this leper that nobody had help for began to have hope that this one had authority. And he brought his need to him. And he said, if you will, I believe there's great authority. You've met needs of many souls here. I've listened and it's been a blessing. But I believe that blessing extends beyond just all the spiritual needs. It does do that, but it also extends to our physical needs. And that leper brought that to him and he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. He didn't need any magical action. Didn't need great jumping up on an altar. He just said, I will. There is power in our Lord today. There's power in His Word. He's near enough for His Word to reach us. Though He touches us sometimes personally, and we feel that. Folks, His Word is every bit as powerful as His touch. He can speak the Word. And He said, I will. Be thou clean. And He was. Because the Lord did it. Lord, help us to put our trust in You. Lord, so many times we get troubled with the places that we find ourselves in and we go about trying to find some other solution. But Lord, today help us to put our trust in You. You are our King. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. I have to confess to you, my small mind can't grasp all exactly what Jesus meant by saying that. I don't know that I need to understand that completely. But he told that to the man. Don't tell anybody, but go show yourself to the priest. Do what you're supposed to under the law of Moses. And he went and did that. Fifth verse. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. I take note that after the Sermon on the Mount, in the writing here, we have account after account of the Lord dealing with physical needs of people and healing them. I don't think that was by accident. There is a place the Lord wants to first deal with us in our soul and bring us into communion. I noticed when Jesus was brought, or when they brought to Jesus a man sick of palsy, and they brought him on a bed, carried him there, and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. First thing he said, wasn't it? One of the first, if not the first. And everybody looked around, almost shocked. This is a man in their eyes. Jesus was, he's not though, he's more than that. He is the Word of God. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And here he was, and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And others couldn't hardly compute that. It didn't connect in their mind. It was difficult for them to receive. But God never leaves us without a foundation for our faith. And he said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? And I would submit again to you that it's easier to say something, claim something that you can't verify. How can you tell somebody's sins are forgiven? You can't prove it with outward show, can you? You can rejoice and be happy, but it's only the Lord that forgives sin. But everybody's going to see it if you take up your bed and walk. If he risked his word and said, take up your bed and walk, and it didn't work, they'd call him a fake. But he said, so that you might know that I have the power to forgive sin. He looked again at the man and said, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and went rejoicing in the Lord. Because also his sins had been forgiven him. The Lord wants to minister to all these levels in her heart. I believe today some of the very reasons that the Lord allows us to go through some hard places. Sometimes bodily afflictions that we long to get out of. And I'm not going to tell you, I don't have all the answers. Nor would I say if we suffer under long affliction that we're not right in our soul. Because all people throughout history have come to their end in some way or another. And they made heaven that way. I want to be one of those too. I watched my father through years of affliction. But I saw the hand of the Lord working in his life. I believe it was a mercy of God that brought that affliction to him. I saw him begin to glow under the touch of the Lord. I've heard testimonies that came that he could not have had without the affliction at the Lord. Plus a deep assurance in his soul when he was getting ready to draw his final breath. There was deep assurance that he had when he's approaching those moments of his life. That path that the Lord brought him to. Folks, I want to tell you, it was the right path that brought him there. It was one that made it so that he had, when his eyes closed and I watched him take his last breath, though there was a sadness that he was gone, there was a joy that he had made it. I knew well that his eyes were seeing the face of his Savior. The Lord in His mercy sometimes allows us to go through difficulties for our own soul. For my soul. For my good. Lord, help us to get the good when we're there. Help us, Lord, to seek Your face and not try to escape, but to yield to Your touch. To allow Him to shape in us His glory instead of ours. I want to follow the Lord in these ways. Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man. I'm sorry, I think I'm beyond that. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Who's a centurion? Is he an upstanding Jew? Perhaps a leader of the synagogue? Is that what he was? Was he always at Sabbath day, was he always in there, one of the lawyers that was discussing the truth? Is that where he was? He was a Roman, likely a Roman, leader of a band of Roman soldiers here at Capernaum. He was an outpost of the Roman. Excuse me. But this man also had heard enough that he had hope. There was something that in him began to say, I need some help. And he knew where to come. It's quite something. It's remarkable in my mind that a Roman would come to a Jew and say, I need help. But that's what he did. Came unto him a centurion beseeching him. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. It's interesting to me too, and I don't know exactly what all these terms really mean, but it's the one that he cared about was his servant. Romans weren't known for their great compassion, were they? This man was different. Something, I believe, had begun changing him in his heart. And he was tender, and he had care for his servant. He said he's grievously tormented. There must have been some love that he had for the man. Enough love that caused him to come and risk his reputation as a Roman centurion to go and ask a Jew for help. He did it. He came and talked to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Oh, wonderful news. But the man, the Roman centurion, talked to the Jew and said, I'm not worthy for you to come. I believe the Lord had been doing some mighty work in this centurion's heart. Centurion answered and said to him, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only. I marvel at what this Roman centurion had grasped. Somewhere he had believed that this man that was dead, many times the process that people went through back then, they would maybe go, and I'm not opposed, we're going to lay hands on people today and pray for them. That's proper. But this man believed that's not necessary. Lord, if you'll just speak the truth, your word, your what you say is the utmost authority and power, and I believe you don't need to come to my home. It's too much. I'm not worthy. I'm just a Roman centurion. I don't have access to what you have over there in the temple. But you don't have, but just say the word. He had a greater belief in Jesus Christ than many Jews did. He believed him. Speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. Another, come, he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This man had gotten a hold of something. I believe it reaches into the idea the very word of God is all powerful. Amen. It is. Maybe I said that too quickly, and I wanted to sink into our hearts today that we might know that it is true. Yes. The word of God is all powerful. I still believe that all we see around us happened because it was spoken so. I believe that the intricacies of our body, I believe the intricacies of DNA, all the molecular structures of the whole world, including our body and our eyes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Science. And I sometimes have a difficulty saying it that way because it seems like science is so vaunted. But human understanding has advanced to the point that we recognize there's some amazing intricacies that simply have to say God. It screams God to our understanding. And that word that spoke all this into existence in a moment's time. Challenge me if you want to. You say, well, brother, you think God really did this in 7 days? I want to tell you, if God can create it all, He can do it at any moment He wants. That's right. That's right. It wouldn't have taken Him 7 days. He could have said it all. It was His choice. 6 days. Thank you, brother. He said six. And He's exactly right because He rested on the seventh. Thank the Lord. That's true. That's an accurate way to say it. Thank you, Brother Clint. But the Lord is able. The Word of God is powerful, and it has not lost any of its power. When He says, let there be, it's going to be. And when He speaks to our need, dear ones, whether it be a deep spiritual complexity in our soul, when He speaks to us, I want to tell you, you can leave in a moment's time. I remember the night when I over in the old tabernacle and I came defiled and guilty. I remember all the confusion, all that the devil was saying. There's no way, there's no way. The web is too tangled. The path is too far. You've went too far. The Lord won't receive you. So many things He tried to tell me. But I can tell you, when the Lord spoke the word, in a moment's time, I was a new creature. And I was there the night when I was so racked with pain, horrible headache and fever and congestion. I believe I had pneumonia. Wasn't diagnosed, but I had every symptom of it. And I was there when Brother Stover, yes, I'm a little older than most of you. Brother Stover came out there and he anointed me. I could barely sit up in this chair, and I sat down and he anointed me and prayed. He didn't leap on the altar. He didn't need to. He just called out to the God he knew. And I was there when I felt the Lord's touch. When the word flowed over me. It was in an instant. I was different. My body was different in an instant. You can't take that from me. I'm like the blind man. I know what happened. I was there. I've seen the Lord do that throughout the years. He hasn't stopped healing. Recently, Sister Brenda gave us a testimony just the other night. There's a reason. The Lord Himself is still God. His Word is still powerful. And I want us to lift our hearts and our minds up to Him. Set our focus and our trust in Him. Because He is indeed trustworthy. May we be at least as clear as the centurion was. He believed the word was powerful. He believed it had all authority. And I believe the Lord wants us to receive that today for ourselves. He has not changed. He is still alive and well. He's proving Himself to you and I. Tenth verse, when Jesus heard it. Now that's not where I want to be. I want to be down farther. 13th verse, and Jesus said unto him, Centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. I think the Lord would like us to be able to receive what He gives us. I don't want to put too much authority or too much pressure on us as saying that you've got to muscle up and grab it. Because there is something carnal that can seep into us when I think I've got to make it happen. And I want to differentiate in our mind the difference between absolutely trusting the Lord. There's a difference between trusting the Lord and trusting myself. And the Lord would have us today come to Him with all of our heart, with all of our yielded heart, and say, Lord, the whole thing's Yours. Whether I live or die, it's all Yours. It's in Your hands. God wants us to seek. He never told us, well, perhaps He may have told you sometimes to pray differently, but most of the time He doesn't tell me not to pray for healing. It's okay. I think the Lord wants us to. Please excuse myself, me this morning. I don't mean to be obnoxious. But today I want us to focus not on our ability to name it and claim it. God wants us to yield lovingly, fully to Him and put our trust in Him. Because in that avenue, He's able, He's unfettered, He's able to work, He's able. He won't give His glory to you, nor to me. It's His glory. And He's able to do it. And His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw, here's another account, isn't it? The Lord dealing with sickness. to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Again, the Lord's able to address every need. Sometimes it was done out in the open where everybody might see, and sometimes it was done over in a corner. He entered into Peter's house and saw the mother-in-law right over there, and he reached over there and touched her and healed her. She rose and ministered to them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Here's another sickness, isn't it? This is a spiritual one. This is a greater need, a deeper problem. Jesus didn't have to go, "Oh, I don't know about this one." He never has had to do that. The devils, those that were brought to him. The evening was come. I want to think about this for a little bit. Monarch can be wearing after a while, can it? Physically and emotionally. That's just the nature of it. I believe Jesus was in flesh just like you and I. And I believe probably at evening time he may have been wanting, could likely have been wanting to find a place to rest, pillow his head. But here came some more. He didn't turn them away. Evening time was come. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Thank the Lord. That it might be fulfilled. Listen to this. This is prophecy. This is Jesus came and fulfilled what was prophesied of him. I thank the Lord. Listen, and this is part of what we anchor our hearts on. Yes. This same prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities, bare our sickness." He did it. He's still doing it. He still bids us. Sometimes we feel disconnected and off by ourselves like sheep without it. I felt that way. I felt like alone. We feel that way sometimes, especially when we're in the press of the battle. He sees us as sheep sometimes without a shepherd and doesn't leave us that way. He comes to us in our hour of need. He bare our sickness. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Maybe, in my mind, I think of that. I think maybe he's trying to find a place of rest. I don't know. An escape. But he had purpose from going. It wasn't just escape. He had another job to do. Went to the other side. And a certain scribe came unto him, came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." He was saying to him, there's something more than these things of this earth. Don't set your affections on things below. Set them on high. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He has work, he has authority, he has power, and he's here. He's about his Father's business. And God wants us to enter into that with him. If we want to follow him, we need to enter into that same spirit of servitude, of compassion that he has. We don't anchor ourselves. I know, yes, we have places we live. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. But don't set your affections on it. Don't anchor ourselves here in this earth. Recognize that our home goes beyond this place. And another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Again, teaching a principle of giving our all to the Lord, putting him first in our lives. And when he was entered into a ship, His disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest. You ever felt like that? Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. I suppose all of us, when we feel in a great place where the tempest is raging round about us, folks, it is so like us to feel alone. Jesus was there, and they were doing all they knew how to do. It's okay to row the boat. I think we're supposed to do what we can. We're supposed to try. But be careful, that's not where our trust is, not in the muscles of our arms, nor the determination of my mind. Though we should give our all to the Lord and yield all of our intention, our desires, our passions, all that should be yielded and focused toward Him. But folks, our deliverance is not in my strength of my arm, nor the determination of my mind. It's going to be in the action of our Lord. And I believe here they were. They were doing all they knew how to do. And they were pressing against the raging waves, and the waves weren't abating. And they were at the end of the strength of their arm. The burning of their arms, I think, increased. And they were at the place they didn't know how they could pull the boat one more round. The waves were beating upon them, and they looked like they were just about to go under. Likely they had bailed all they knew how to bail. They were not winning the war. They were going to go down, and Jesus was asleep. He's the master, isn't he? But oh, sometimes when He's sleeping beside us, we think He's not taking notice. I believe He knew everything, what they were doing. But sometimes in our moments of being in the midst of the storm, we think He's so asleep that He can't hear us. I want to tell you, He's not this morning. He's not deaf to our cry. His ears aren't turned aside. He's in tune with His children. He's interested in meeting us in our need here this morning. And here they were, rowing to the other side in the will of God, moving the best they knew how, doing what the Lord had asked them to do. But they were in trouble. They found themselves. And I believe perhaps they searched their heart and said, Lord, we're doing all we know how. Didn't know what else to do. But they came and they woke the Master. They appealed to Him. Folks, sometimes I think we can maybe shortcut some of our troubles if we go and wake the Master a little earlier. I'm not accusing us, because we all go through these places. But oh, Lord, help us to lean on You. What is that song, O Tested Soul? Lean hard on Him, O Tested Soul. On Him thy cares and burdens roll. Our God still hears and has control. He has not, will not fail us now. Thank the Lord. But they found themselves out in the waves. That's where they were. And His disciples came to Him and woke Him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. And He said to them, why are you fearful? Seemed like such an easy thing to answer when you're in that kind of trouble. Lord, I'm afraid we're dying. We're in trouble. It's a human reaction to acknowledge. And it's okay to acknowledge that He didn't reject them for their acknowledgement of their need. But He helped them with their need. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? That's all He said. Kind of, where's your faith? I want to encourage us today to put our faith and trust in our Lord. His power and His might has not abated. He's still the same. Yes. Then He arose and rebuked the winds. A word went out of His mouth. That's all it took. And everything that their burning arms could not do, He did. with a word. He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. When the Master shows up, there's nothing anything else can do but obey the Master. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. He's our Lord today. I want to encourage us today to yield our all to the Lord. Sometimes in the middle of these battles, we don't always know exactly which way He's leading, but let's find it. Let's seek Him. Lord, I want to follow You. I don't know what all You're doing right now, but I want to be there. I want to be in Your will. I want to be found faithful. Lord, we need You to speak to the wind, though. The Lord still heals. The Lord's still here and has control. He's still here. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this?" I believe their faith began to arise. I think I know they say, "What manner of man this is?" But when you encounter somebody that can speak peace to your soul, that can cause waves to lay down, could cause winds to cease and a great calm to happen, when you encounter somebody like that, it's more than a man. You know, it's more than a man. This is the Son of God. What manner of man is this? I believe that the centurion that was at the foot of Jesus whenever He was crucified smote His breast. He knew something. This was more than a man that died that night. This one that loves us, this lover of our soul, Brother Tommy, in the song he sang a while ago, he could have escaped if he wanted to, but all his love made him stay. Because he saw our need. And it is one of the greatest miracles that I've ever seen when the Lord can take corrupted people and turn them around and change them, make them new, change lives from the old broken dead man that they used to be to a man that's alive in Christ. So thankful for that. That's one of the greatest miracles. But that's not all He does. He also takes us in our physical needs today. What we have, it's right for us to come and bring our sick loved ones, just like they did in the early morning church. It hasn't changed, dear ones. Our God's not different. His Word is still powerful and of utmost authority. And if we can get ourselves and our loved ones in faith, yielding to the Lord at His feet. Folks, it takes but a whisper. It doesn't take much. Just the Word of God. And there's a great calm. I don't want to take up. I was going to do more, but I don't think I need to. I think that's where the Lord wants me to stop this morning. But I want to encourage you today, wherever your need is, whether great or small, let's bring it to the Lord today. If it's spiritual, bring that to Him. Let's confess those needs of our heart, of our soul today, that we might be healed. Let's be in that place that the Lord can ride prosperously in our midst, unfettered, unhindered, because we want Him glorified. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.